Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
So our series for this month is entitled The Winning Formula. The Winning Formula. If you come with me to the book of Proverbs 11, verse 30, the Bible says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. He who wins souls is wise. So, God believes in winning. There's a winning element. This is, in fact, 2023 is our year of soul winning. So we are into winning this year. We're into winning souls, and we're into winning the battles of life. We're into winning. Most definitely, we are into soul winning, but that soul winning involves some winning. Are you listening to what I'm saying? So we need to talk a bit. Last month, we spoke about the souls. And, you know, treasures in heaven. A very important series that I believe every one of us really need to take time and soak in. And then this month, I'm going to talk about the winning part. How do you win? How do you win? And there is a way to win. Solomon says, he who wins souls is wise. So he's applying a certain wisdom to win. There's a certain wisdom this person is applying that allows him to win continuously. And if it is soul he's trying to win, he's applying that wisdom, which I'm calling a formula, that allows him to win souls. If any area of his life where he's trying to win, he's managing to win because he's applying a certain wisdom that allows him to win. So you can't win any battle, you can't win on any circumstance if there is no specific wisdom that you are engaging. There must be a wisdom that causes you to get results better than the results of others. And we want to explore this month a formula that is guaranteed to bring a winning climate or a winning atmosphere in your world. Some of us have experienced failure too much. You've lost so many battles. You've missed so many opportunities. A lot of things have gone wrong in your life. God sent me this month with a winning formula that will help you to start winning. To start winning. You can start winning. Amen. I know some of us have lost so much, you don't believe you can win, including souls, including battle, any area, you don't think you can win. But I want to submit something to you. Maybe you don't have the formula. Wow. Yeah. Maybe you don't have the formula. You are trying to win without the formula. Yes. The wisdom required to win. You are using strength, you are using but you only use the wisdom. The formula. What is a formula? Number one, a formula is a list of ingredients with which something is made. For example, there's a formula for Coca-Cola. And then there's another formula for Sprite. You can't use the Coca-Cola formula on Sprite, even if it's the same company making both. The composition is different based on the result I'm trying to achieve. Can I tell you something else? Every time you apply the formula well, you will get the same result. No matter where you are on earth. So the people don't need to transport Coca-Cola from Japan to Nigeria. The Nigerian people just need to know the formula of Coca-Cola. If they have the formula of Coca-Cola, you'll be surprised that right in Nigeria, they will be having the Coca-Cola that people are having in Argentina, in Japan, and other places. Because as long as you have the formula, you start winning. Do you understand that? So it's really not about where you are. It's really not about your height. It's really not about which school you went to. It's rather about, do you have the formulas? Do you know the formulas that bring victory? The formula that causes people to win? Coca-Cola doesn't taste the way it tastes because it's made by white people or because it's made by Japanese people. It tastes that way because the formula is right. And even if you are white and you don't apply the formula, it will not taste well. Because the formula doesn't know color. The formula doesn't know background. The formula just knows the composition. What is a formula? A method or procedure for achieving something. This alone is telling you that for you to achieve anything, there must be a method that you are going about. There must be a procedure that you are taking. And maybe you've been trying to achieve things with your life using the wrong method. And using the wrong procedure. Or using the wrong protocol. Many people are frustrated in life because they are trying to achieve something, but they are not aware they are using the wrong method. God is sending help your way this month in the name of Jesus. What is a formula? A plan or method for dealing with something. Are you listening to me? We are dealing with things all the time. You are dealing with joblessness. You are dealing with marriage. You are dealing with school. You are dealing with this. You are dealing with that. But what is the formula? Because there's another person dealing with the same thing, but he's getting it sorted. And you are dealing with the same thing and doesn't seem to be moving forward. Can we sort it out? What is the formula? A plan or a method of doing, making, or achieving something often. Do you understand? Like, when once you have a formula, you create a, like, you can make it happen as many times as you want. Because now you know how to do it. When you have the formula for making scones, you can wake up at midnight and say, I feel like having scones. And you can have scones. If you don't have the formula for scones, you have to wait for the next day and the person who knows to wake up and then go to the market and to buy the ingredients and then to make it. So you might end up having scones at the wrong time. Not when you needed to have scones. And the only problem is you don't know the formula. You don't know the formula. So the formula brings an advantage in your life. One of the things, the formula makes you save time. A lot of time is wasted because you are experimenting. You don't know what works. And because you don't know what works, you have to try this and then go back and then try that and then go back. All that time you are wasting, if you knew the formula, you will go straight to the result. So when you have a formula, you save time. If I have the formula to how to make iced tea, I mean, I will spare. First of all, the formula helps you save time and save resources and save a lot of things because instead of wasting the other product and then see it doesn't work, then you try again. And that's a lot of us, that's what you are spending your life on. Like, you are just trying things and you never sure which will work and which will not work. You never sure. So sometimes it goes, and then it doesn't work. Okay, you come again. So, okay, now I know this one doesn't work. You don't need to do that. You can just learn the formula. And if you have the formula, and if you can take the time to know the formula of things, do you understand? You will start moving a bit faster. There's a formula for church growth. There's a procedure to achieve success in ministry. There's a procedure to achieve success in yourself. There's a procedure to achieve success in your business. That's why there are people who are business people and they're successful. There's a way to do it. I said there's a way to do it. There is always a way behind anything. There's a way. There's always a way. But you might not know the way. But there is a way. And Jesus says he is the way. Formulas help us advance faster. When you have a formula, you will always go faster than a person who doesn't have a formula. You will move faster. The delays and stagnations in our lives could be an indication that we don't have formulas for the things we are trying to achieve. And that is what causes all these delays, all these frustrations, all these sleepless nights. You are always on the same things. When you have a formula, you advance a bit faster. Oh, yes. If I have the formula, which is the passcode of a certain door, as soon as I get on the door, I'm moving. You come to the same door, you'll be there for 10 years. Because you don't know the formula that opens that door. You are receiving something already in the name of Jesus. Formulas enable us to repeat the same desired results at will. I just mentioned that now. So when you know how to get something done, you can start getting it done, not by accident, not by coincidence, but at will. If I know how to get favor, if I've learned the formula of favor, it means I can orchestrate favor at will in my life. If I know the formula of church growth, it means I can go anywhere led by the Spirit and I can start having church growth. If I know the formula of happy marriage, I can just, as soon as I see my marriage is going this way, I just apply the formula and I'm moving. I can apply and I can have the same results at will. Not to wait for after 5 years, then maybe by chance, then some circumstances organizes themselves and they just happen to fall perfectly in order and then I get a bit of a breakthrough. No, I can learn the breakthroughs. I can master the breakthroughs. And I can start having them at will. Hallelujah. It's how it is. That's why you have light bulbs, you have cameras, all these are formulas people have acquired. Now they can at will decide, we're going to have 1,000 of this, 10,000 of this, 1 billion of this, because we know how to make it. But there was a time it took them years just to get one sorted. But after they got the formula of one, and I'm saying to you, you can start having the same results in your life. Amen. At will. Amen. By the grace of God. Amen. Now, look at this interesting verse. Mark chapter 4, verse 25. For whoever has, to him, more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Oh, let me read it again for us. For whoever has, to him, the person who has, to that person, the Bible says, more will be given. And to the one who does not have, which normally should be the one to be given more because he doesn't have, rather the little he has will be taken from him. Are you listening to this verse? Jesus is giving a very important information here, which is a reality of life. And I'm going to take you through a few examples to show you that it seems as though the people who have are the one who gets more. And those who don't have usually end up having nothing altogether. So you're going to need to choose which group you will be belonging going forward. For example, whoever has money, houses, and cars, chances are that person will have more money, more houses, and more cars. It's a reality. Whenever you see a person with one house, it's usually possible that he has another house, more than one house. When you see a person with a car, even if the car is taken away, it's as if, as soon as the car is taken away, another car comes and replaces it. Have you noticed that thing about people? And the person that has many cars is the one, he had a car, now he has another one, and then he has a, like, when you see a person with a lot of cars, is that he had one, then he had another one, then he had another one, and he just keeps having more. A person that doesn't have a house, is most probably going to rent till he dies. Like, the chances of that person of having many houses as to compare to the chances of a person who has a house already. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Like, the one who already has a house has a bigger chance of having another house. Comparing him to a person who doesn't have a house. Those ones usually end up, they rent after a while, then they are kicked out of the place where they were renting. Before they know it, they go back to the family house. Before they know it, they are dead. Remember the words of Jesus, whoever has, to him more shall be given. You better choose. As you keep going around having nothing, It's not even a formula. Nothing. You don't want to have nothing. That's not good. Whoever has a job shall have more jobs. Look, once a person already has a job, the chances of that person getting another job are always greater. Yes, because if I have a job now, I'm working somewhere, it is easier for another company to prefer me because of my experience and the things I've done, as to somebody who just came with 5 diplomas and 17 this and this. They're just looking at you. They're just looking at you. The chances of you getting a job when you don't have a job are less compared to the chances of a person who already has a job. That is just the way it is. When a person has a job, it is easier to have another job than when you don't have a job at all. Whoever has a child shall have even more children. You'll be surprised. A person that already has a child, he is the one that is not angry that they say they are pregnant again. Like, what is this? I'm trying to rest. Now another pregnancy has come. And another person, they don't even have one. And they are running India, Japan, China, trying to get. They can't have one. They can't have one. Whoever has political power shall have even more political power. Yeah. Our very own Julius Malema, he was having political power in ANC. And then it became easier for him to have more political power in EFF. Why don't another person that has not been in ANC just come up and have a big party the way he's having one? You will see he even standing a bigger chance of becoming a president now with more political power. It's as if he just keep having more. As to compare to a person that is just in the village with powerful political ideas, but he doesn't have political power at a little level. Whoever has education shall have more education. Yeah. Look, if you are coming from a family of lawyers, chances are you will have more lawyers in that type of a family. As to compare to a family of drunkards, idiots, that they've never achieved anything, the chances of a lawyer coming from that family are very, very, very slim. It is always easier when there's already a doctor in the family to have more doctors in that family. When there's a bachelor degree in the family, it's more easy. When you only have errand boys in the family, you will be having more errand boys. I see you becoming whoever has. You must have something. You must have something. There must be something you have so that you can have more of it. And I came by the Spirit of God to give you a formula, a winning formula that will move you from those who don't have to becoming somebody who can have something so that God can add more to you. Whoever has friends in high places will have more friends in high places. I'm sure you realize that if you know Michael Jackson or the late Michael Jackson, it's easy to know Stevie Wonder. It's easy to know Madonna because you're already up there. As to compare to somebody who is from a village, he doesn't, I mean, how will that person know a person in high places? It's a simple reality. It's a simple reality that is there. Whoever is famous will be more famous. Now, whoever has the knowledge of God will have more knowledge of God. You will be surprised that it is rather the pastor that keeps teaching you that is getting more and more to teach you. Rather than the person who's just been there receiving. It's the one who has a little bit. It is the one that keeps getting a bit more. It is the one that has a bit of anointing that God gives a bit more. Yeah. Yeah. The pastor that has a big church has a greater chance of having a bigger church than a pastor that is busy struggling with 5 people every week. Like the chances of him becoming big are very small. Very, very small. A pastor who has church buildings has a greater chance of having more church buildings. It's the same principle. And I've seen it practically in my life. From the moment God started giving me branches, I've been having them a bit faster, a bit quicker. As to compare to when I didn't have one. I mean, the time I spent when I didn't have one compared to the time I started when I had now one, it's been faster. So the principle is clear. Whoever has shall have more. Whoever has shall have more. And the fight of your life is to have the first one. And I've come with a formula, a winning formula that will not allow you to start having the first thing. That you will have the first one. And from the moment you have your first job, your first relationship, your first branch, from then it becomes a bit easier. It becomes a bit easier. But you are unable to have them because it's a formula you don't have. That's keeping you at the lowest level. By the grace of God, will change that.
Amen.
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 Now, it is possible to operate without any winning formula. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 15, the Bible says, the labor of the fools wearies them, for they do not know how to go to the city. They are waking, but they are just frustrating themselves. The labor of fools, there's something called labor of fools. Labor, you are working, but it's a foolish work. It makes you tired, and you are on the same spot. You still don't have. You still belong to the have-nots, not the haves. The labor of fools, they don't work with wisdom. They do not know how. You see that word, know-how, formula. Know-how implies there's a way, there's a formula you need to apply for you to enter that city, to enter that dimension. You are doing certain things, but you don't know how to get the result. And one thing that you need to really drop this man by the grace of God is pride. You need to put aside your pride and accept the fact, I don't know how. That's why I don't have. That's why I don't have. And my prayer for you is that by the end of this month, the formula will be in your hands.
Amen.
And you will be able to have the first one.
Amen.
And Jesus is promising you, as soon as you have the first one, the next one can start coming a bit faster. The next one can start coming a bit. They just start coming. Our fight is to get the first child out. Our fight is to get the first car. Our fight is to get the first land. It's always the greatest fight. And many people, if I don't give them the formula, they will spend their life, they never get the first thing. They never get it. So God has to give us a formula. God has a winning formula and a winning strategy for every battle. Psalm 103, verse 7, the Bible says, He made known His ways to Moses. God has ways, and He can cause you to know them. He made known His ways. He made known His ways to Moses. I see God making known His ways to you.
Amen.
That He has a way. That's why He creates everything. He has a way of getting things done. He has a way of sorting out problems. He has a way of bringing solutions. And He can make known His way to you. He made known His ways to Moses. And Moses became a god on the earth. Men can, I mean, the Red Sea, he opened it, people can walk. What are you talking about? Bringing manna from the sky? Bringing water from a rock? He has ways to move. In Isaiah 48, verse 17, thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit. And who leads you by the way you should go. Not everywhere will take you there. Not everywhere will lead to the city. Some ways will take you back in the bush. Some ways will take you to a pit. Some ways will take you to an anaconda and a crocodile. By the time you have arrived, have you ever taken a GPS and the thing say, we have arrived. But we look around, you are in the middle of nowhere, but the guy says, you have arrived. Maybe you've never driven a car. That's why you should buy a car and start, so that when we talk, we can relate to the same experiences. I'm talking about GPS. You don't even have PPS, and I'm talking about GPS. I mean, then you need to grow up. Let's introduce the winning formula quickly. Amen. The winning formula is found in the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 5 to 8. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Now look at the promise, verse 8. For if these things be in you, I'm not saying you don't know them. You probably have heard them. But are they in you? If these things be in you, the location of these ingredients has to be in you, not on you, not around you, not somewhere near you. They have to be in you. That's the location. I cannot take salt, I put there, I take water there, I take tomato there, and I'm saying no, I have a cake or whatever. No, the things must to be together somewhere inside something, all of them together. If these things be in you and abound. So it's not enough to have them. You need to have a lot of them in you. They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if these things are in you and they abound in you, you will have results anywhere you find yourself. You will never be barren. Barren means a man without results. And fruitful, a man without products. So what is the winning formula that we are learning this month? Here it is. It will appear on your screen. I put success equals the formula for success. You can put, when I'm saying success, put anything you want there. Anything you want to see. Is it a job? Put job equals. Is it marriage? Put marriage equals. Whatever you want to see happen in your life right now, just put it at the beginning and put equals, then start. Number one, diligence plus faith plus virtue plus knowledge plus temperance plus patience plus godliness plus brotherly kindness plus charity, then you have anything. Change growth. They sell to grow. Anointing. Anything you want, put it at the beginning, then put equal, then put number one, diligence, plus faith, plus virtue, plus knowledge, plus temperance, plus patience, plus godliness, plus brotherly kindness, plus charity. You have the formula to get anything. It is called the winning formula. And it is coming to you this month. Some of you are not excited because you thought, I'm going to say the winning formula, take a bit of salt, mix with some water, wake up at night at 3 a.m., say, awo, 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 then throw it up and then throw yourself. That's the winning formula. Come to the pastor's house at 3 a.m. working on your knees, then laugh, let. Then they will pour oil on you. That's the winning formula. There's a man who went to a witch doctor to get a winning formula to win the elections and to become rich because his formulas were not working. So he went to a sangoma to get the formula. The sangoma said, no, I have the formula for you. Very, very powerful formula. If you do it, you will have the results. Number one, find a chicken. When you find a chicken, remove all the feathers from that chicken. Then take that chicken and put that chicken inside a room for 2 weeks. Don't give that chicken water. Don't give that chicken food for 2 weeks. So take the chicken that doesn't have feathers, put that chicken inside a room without water and without food for how many weeks?
2 weeks.
14 days. After 2 weeks, open the doors where the chicken is that hasn't eaten for 2 weeks and that doesn't have feathers. Stretch your hand and take a handful of corn. Corn. Only one hand. You take a handful of corn. Throw it in the ground somewhere. And then open the doors. The chicken that has been without feathers and that hasn't eaten for 2 weeks will walk out of the door. And it will walk straight to the corns that you spread. One handful, not two, just one. You just put one, you put down. The chicken will come. Then the chicken will start eating. Now, here's the thing is that whatever the chicken leaves after it has eaten, the number of grains of corns that will be left will be the number of years that you will have power and that you will have money. Then they say, after that chicken has eaten those corns, the chicken, you must start a bonfire somewhere on the other side. After the chicken has finished eating the corn, it will walk straight into the fire and burn itself and die. Whatever number of corns are left, that's the number of years you yourself you will live to enjoy. Now, I want to ask you a question. A chicken that hasn't eaten for 2 weeks and that doesn't have feathers, hasn't drank water, and you can only, how many corns can you put in one hand on a chicken that hasn't eaten for 2 weeks? Then you put down. And you must not come and wait that he must eat, but he must not eat too much. Because whatever he leaves behind, that's your years. When the politician heard that thing, he realized that the formula was complicated. He pulled out. My formula that the Lord is giving me is not as, you don't need to be getting chicken, removing the feather. No, you don't need to do all those things. It's 9 steps. That can get you anywhere. Let's start with the first ingredient for the time we have. Diligence. What is diligence? Diligence is the persistent and relentless effort by an individual to solve a problem, to overcome difficulties, and to accomplish great things. Did you understand that? The persistent and relentless effort by an individual to solve a problem, to overcome difficulties, and to accomplish great things. That is what we call diligence. When we say a person is diligent, it means he is persistent and relentless in solving problems, in overcoming difficulties, and in achieving great things. He is persistent. He is persistent in overcoming problems. Overcoming problems, achieving great things, and overcoming difficulties. Persistence. Relentless. That's a diligent person. Those of you who think, successful people, they are just having fun. Everything is easy for them. That's why you don't have. Because you think things are gotten easily. The first formula that God gives for you to not be barren in your life, for you to not be unfruitful in your life, is diligence. The first thing that will cause you to not be one, whoever does not have, and to become whoever has. The main thing that will cause you to become one of those who has. Diligence. Diligence. And what is diligence? Solving problems. A diligent person is a person that has a relentless and persistent attitude in trying to solve a problem. Then he is resilient in overcoming difficulties. And then he is persistent in accomplishing great things. Are you diligent? Genesis 27 verse 40. The Bible says, you will live by the sword and you will serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you will throw his yoke off your neck. You will live by the sword. You will be struggling. You will serve your brother. You will work under people. Until you become restless. The day you become restless, the yoke of whoever was holding you down will be lifted. The same version in Living Translation. You will live by the sword and you will serve your brother. But when you decide to break free, so people that are stuck, it's a choice. When you decide to get a job, you will get a job. Well, the day you decide, you will get it. I promise you. Because it is not easy for nobody. Diligence must be applied for anything to come. So those who don't have it, don't want it. Or they don't want it bad enough. When you become restless, when you decide, you'll be surprised. People are poor by choice. It's a choice they've made. It's a choice they've made to be like that. They are not aware of it. But it is, they think that it is sick. No. Those who are not in that situation made certain choices that you are not making. Understand the first. Form diligence. I'm describing what the Bible says when it says you must be diligent for you to not be barren. For you to not be unfruitful, you must be diligent. For you to be whoever has money, whoever has houses, whoever has jobs, you must be very diligent. Whoever has anointing, whoever has church growth, whoever has many churches, you must be very diligent. And diligence here is you solve problems. Boy, if you've been on earth, you notice that earth is a problem tank. You've learned that in a, that's why when you are born, the first thing you do, you cry. Because you, and that is what you do most of your life if you're not careful. That thing you did the first day you came here, you didn't smile. You started crying. Nobody beat you. You started, because you understood where you came. You came to a tank of problems. Oh yeah. But by diligence, you will smile. In the midst of a tank of problems, you will be smiling. I tell you, you will be happy where others are crying because of the force of diligence. Four things you should know about diligence. Number one, diligence is the personal trait that makes a person rich. It's a personal trait in you. And wherever that personal trait is, the people become rich. Yeah, almost every rich person you know is diligent. Your problem is you don't live with them, you see. So you just see them driving their car and you start having all these funny ideas. Hey, he killed three people. Hey, he sold his mother. Hey, he sold his soul to the devil. You also go and do, let's see. if it is that simple, I mean, all the soccer players in the field, why can't they all sell their souls to the devil so that they all become powerful? Do you know that even if they are all 11, if only one usually becomes very popular? Because he pays a higher price. He pays a higher price. Proverbs 10, verse 4. He who has a slack hand becomes poor. He who has a slack hand becomes poor. He who has a slack hand becomes poor. But the hand of the diligent makes rich. So your hands, oh, ask your neighbor, are your hands slack or are they diligent? Which, your hands, do you have slack hands or do you have diligent hands? It's nothing else but the nature of your hands. People have slack hands and others have diligent hands. He who has slack hands shall be poor. But the hands of the diligent become rich. The same verse in NLT, lazy people are soon poor. Hard workers get rich. It's a simple thing. Oh no, I think he became rich because of his mother. His mother was giving him the money. That's why he became rich. You are always finding all that reason to say that's why. Why? How come you've never used the excuse that is hard work? Like, in all the excuses you are giving, why don't you also think that maybe it could be his working hard? You are always finding things that are easy to say, but people with mothers have never become rich. Plenty of people with mothers have never become rich. But you are saying he's rich because of his mother. How come you've never thought about the fact that maybe he is successful because she's hardworking? Because the Bible is giving you the formula here. You are using other things, but the Bible is telling you what actually brings success without any problem. Hard work. I'm out of time. We're going to have to pick up from here next week. And that is, if I take you to Jesus in the book of John 5, verse 16 to 17. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. In his defense, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at work. To this day, I too am working." Jesus was defending himself and saying, no, you can't stop me from working on Sunday. Because these people are saying that Jesus is doing miracles on Sunday. Nobody is supposed to work on Sunday. He's working too much. Even Sunday when people are supposed to be resting, Sabbath day, Jesus is still busy working. So Jesus told them, no, my Father is always working. And if my Father is working on Sunday, I'm going to work on Sunday. I'm going to work. That's why at ABC, we don't consider Sunday to be a day of rest. Because Jesus was working on the Sabbath. Why are you, after church, 2 minutes, you are home, you are eating, you are sleeping? Have people ever complained to you that you are working too much? People are complaining about Jesus, saying that Jesus is working too much. He's even working on the day he's not supposed to work. Rather, some of us people are complaining that you are lazy. You are always eating. You are not working, nothing. Oh. You are receiving the grace this morning to become a diligent person. Amen. Diligence is what is missing. The first ingredient for formula, winning formula, is missing already. I mean, that is where, you know, if you want to make cake, the first thing you need is flour, not sugar, flour first. So if you want to be successful, the first thing you need is diligence. That's the first thing. He said, add to diligence. Everything starts with diligence. Meaning you can have temperance, patience, long-suffering. If you don't have diligence, your formula is not going to work. So the foundation of every success is hard work. Assistance in the face of opposition. Ability to rise and do great things even when it's hard to do them. That's the foundation. That's the spirit you should have. If you are thinking things will be easy, I'm sorry. There's nothing like that. Look at Paul. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. And not yet, not I, but the grace of God that was with me. I thought grace meant things are free. I just enjoy. I'm in the church. It's by the grace of God. When people say by the grace of God, it always comes across as if, you know, they didn't have to do anything. The grace of God did everything for them. Paul says, yet the grace of God was not without effect. I worked harder. Yet not I, but the grace of God. So the grace of God works hard. I said the grace of God makes you work hard. When you have the grace of God, that is actually when you work harder. These people that are using the grace of God as an excuse to say, no, it's by the grace. And also, we also use it very, very wrongly. He said, no, it's by the grace. You must tell people the truth. Yes, the grace made it possible, but I needed to put some work in it. You stand on stage and you give a testimony, but you don't tell the whole story. So people sit there thinking, God did everything. And they sit there waiting for God to do everything. God is not doing it. God, and they start feeling God hates them. Look at this verse in the NLT. But whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out his special favor on me. I mean, if I stop here, you just say, hey, Lord, also pour your favor. Oh. Just pour your favor now. Also pour small. I just need a small favor. Just pour small. But he said, and not without results. For I have worked harder than any other apostles. Yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by his grace. Can you say I have worked harder than all my brothers? Can you say I have worked harder than all the other cell leaders? Because there's a reason why we know Paul and we don't know the others. He's telling you why. He worked harder. He was more diligent. He was more diligent. Like I'm saying, the time is up. I'll pick up from here next week. We'll start again with diligence and we're going to start moving from there. But I want to tell you something. The formula is available. And it is accessible. God will never sponsor laziness. Not in this life, nor the one to come. If you want to see things coming your way, and you start holding them, you start seeing them, you start having them, it's possible. The first ingredient into the winning formula is diligence. And it explains why a lot of people don't have. They are not into diligence. And I'm ending by giving you the definition of diligence. The persistent and relentless effort by an individual to solve a problem. God is not expecting you to live a problem-free life. There will be problems. But the diligent one is the one who is persistent and relentless in solving them. That's what God wants from you. That you are persistent in getting the problem solved. And you are determined that the problem is going to go away. You are not overpowered by the problem. You are not subdued by the problem. You are more determined than the problem. That the problem says you will not go. And you say, no, you will go away. I'm not going away. I'm going to take you down. A persistent attitude to come out of joblessness. A persistent attitude to come out of poverty. A persistent attitude to come out of anything that is blocking you right now. That is diligence. Persistent and relentless effort. Effort to solve a problem. Not to let another person solve your problem. You want to solve the problem and you are persistent in solving it. Every day you wake up, you are attacking it. Every time the problem thinks, oh, I think now I've defeated her. You are rising again and you are back on it. That's what makes you victorious. To overcome difficulties. Life is full of difficulties. When you are going through difficulties, don't think God has abandoned you. It is part of life. There will be challenges. This is a fallen ground. You will find a lot of difficulties, and you cannot win here by thinking, no, I am a winner when there's no problem. No, I am a winner when I have overcome the problem. That's why the Bible says, I am more than an overcomer. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not that I can do all things when everything is fine. That's what you need. Number three, accomplish great things. Every great accomplishment you see in any field, be it in ministry, industry, art, culture, sports, wherever you see great accomplishments, you are seeing great diligence. And wherever you see low accomplishments, you are seeing lack of diligence or poor diligence. That's what you are seeing there. And being a Christian doesn't explain your poverty. It doesn't give you a license to be lazy. And that's why I'm starting from here. Using the grace of God to say, no, by the grace. No. The grace makes you work. The grace empowers you to do more. The grace empowers you to find solutions and to keep at it until you overcome. And that's what will make you into one whoever has. And you will have your first one. And once you have your first one through diligence, the other ones start coming a bit easier. And I'll be showing you how it works. My problem or my main job this month is to make you to have the first one. The first one. Amen. Stand on your feet, please. Begin to pray for the spirit of diligence right now to come upon your life. Father, we pray for the release of the spirit of diligence in this ministry. In every area, Lord, we pray that you will help us confront our own realities, that we will agree with ourselves that maybe we haven't been as diligent as we should have. Maybe we haven't given it our best as we should have. And Father, we pray this morning that you will cause each one of us to become more diligent. To become more diligent. That the spirit of diligence is our portion from today. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray right now that there will be diligent men and diligent women. Diligent shepherds, diligent cell leaders, diligent husbands, diligent wives, diligent young men and young women, diligence in every area I will find ourselves, diligent students, diligent workers, wherever we are, there will be known as hardworking people, not lazy ducks that are sitting around. Thank you, Father. We give you praise that the spirit of diligence, that we are breaking out of these excuses we've made for ourselves. That's why we are those who don't have. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. I give you praise. I give you praise. That we'll stop explaining poverty and we'll stop making excuses for laziness. But we'll accept the reality that if we don't become hard workers, we will never see some of these things. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you thanks for the winning formula that is being downloaded on us. And we are not fighting the formula. We are agreeing with the formula. And we are taking our positions so that the formula can make work for us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.